non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
No, when we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Apologia Radio. Coming at you guys from Phoenix, Arizona, Apologia Studios. You guys can get more episodes and content at ApologiaStudios.com. That's APologia, ApologiaStudios.com. There are a ton of episodes, radio episodes, podcast episodes, all up there for you guys to all grab and share. And we think there's a ton there that will bless you guys, encourage you, and just truly be transformative in your walk with Jesus and your defense of the gospel. So we are in the studio today in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Jeff the Coleman Ninja. That's Luke the Bear.
What up?
Joy the Girl.
Hello.
And Marcus King Ginger is on the ones and twos.
What's up?
And we are today going to be talking about an important issue that I'm sure you're all very, very aware of. Recent events across the pond with a little boy named Alfie Evans. And we think it's important that we discuss this from a biblical worldview, talking about it specifically as Christians, talking about actually in a historical context as well, in terms of, well, I mean, the history of the Christian church building so much in the world and in specifically the West, I think is important to talk about just because that's where we're coming from on this episode. This affects really all of us. England, the UK went socialized medicine, socialized healthcare quite a bit ago, and we are now there. And so I think it's important for us to talk about the origins of healthcare that's specifically Christian, just like modern science is specifically Christian. So much of Western culture has its origins in the biblical worldview, and we're in a different place now. I have been talking over the last couple of weeks. If you've been listening, you know that over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about Marxism, cultural Marxism, neo-Marxism. Just finished a very, very, very important and, we think, educational, equipping, and just straight awesome. Next week episode with Dr. Andrew Sandlin. We talked a bit about Marxism there. We think it's going to bless you guys. I want to encourage you guys to watch it this coming Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Apologia Studios' Facebook channel, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go check it out. I think you're really, really going to be encouraged by that. I love Dr. Sandlin. He's a blessing. But we also did an Apologia Academy with Dr. Sandlin.
Two
academies.
Yeah.
Specifically on this issue. And all this is going to tie together here in a moment here. We are living in very strange times and times where things have flipped so fast. I don't think any of us even expected this to go so quickly. Now, of
course, except Dr. White.
Yeah, he talked about it for many, many years. But I don't think any of us were listening. I certainly heard him, but didn't really expect it to happen so quickly. I mean, just so much is happening. I mean, of course, this has been part of the long march of the Marxists for the last century. Of course, we've known about it. It's been in academia. So much change has been happening. But core to the problems around us, as much as cultural Marxism, neo-Marxism, socialism, this didn't take place overnight. They knew it was going to take a long time. Taking control of media, academia, all those things, they knew it was going to be a long march.
Yep.
But they have been very, very successful. So we live in a time where Christians are being persecuted pretty significantly, actually. This is not sort of a persecution complex and we're looking for it. It's all around us. I mean, we could just talk for a second, guys. I don't think we've mentioned this. California's bill recently introduced.
We talked about it last week briefly.
We talked about, conversion therapy. And that essentially is being identified as just simply teaching, saying
right.
the thought that you can go from being gay to straight. That is now blasphemy. It is now heretical. Better to say heresy. Yeah. In California, it's heresy to believe that somebody could go from being such somebody. Well, Paul's statement in Corinthians where he says, such were some of you homosexuals,
right.
such were some of you. That is now heresy in the state of California. Paul's theology, biblical anthropology, the view of human beings, sexuality, the Christian view of sexuality is now heresy in the state of California. So the idea is in California, if you are selling materials that teach that a person can change their sexual identity,
mm-hmm.
then that will be a crime. And so it's already shut down one Christian conference, from what I understand, and I think more to come.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. So we're in a tough spot. I mean, of course, not long ago, homosexuals were stating that we just want to have the same rights, equal
yeah.
rights. We just want to be able to get married. That's all I want. That's it. That's all I want. Just see us as the same. And now it is not acceptable at all in our society to simply accept homosexuality and gay mirage. Now it must be celebrated. And if you don't participate with us, if you don't celebrate it, we will punish you with the beast, the state.
Mm.
And so we have, of course, Christian bakers and all the rest being prosecuted and ultimately punished for not wanting to celebrate or participate in gay mirage and all the rest. So we are now, of course, in the midst of national judgment. That much is clear. Romans chapter 1 says that what God does when he's judging humanity is he gives them over to their sin. What does it say in Romans 1? It says that we know God, we suppress the truth about God and unrighteousness. It says that God is clear to all of us. And it says we profess to be wise, we become fools. We don't want God in our knowledge. We don't want to know him. And it says that we exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for a creature.
Right.
And it says, therefore, God gave them over to do what? To do what was against nature itself. So God's judgment on a people is when he lets them have what they want. All their sinful proclivities, their choices, what they want to do, God gives them over to it. And so we're a nation under judgment. No question about that. We have a nation that applauds, gives hearty approval to people who practice such things. And so here we go. We are now going into, we've said for a long time, the slippery slope. Well, there's a slippery slope here, a slippery slope here. We talked about it with socialized medicine. And now we have this shining example, this painfully shining example with Alfie Evans being killed, being murdered by the state.
Yep.
So I'll shut up for a second. I just want to give you guys the setup for Alfie Evans. He's dead now. He died. He was murdered by the state. Wicked, wicked, wicked judge. And, I mean, just the fact that the government agencies were all involved in, I mean, even blocking
right.
this family from being able to get this little boy some help. I'll shut up. You guys, give me what you got. Give me what your initial thoughts on Alfie Evans.
I think it's the best argument for a Second Amendment, honestly.
Why?
Because the Second Amendment is supposed to protect you from the government. That's
right.
specifically what it says.
Right.
And so when you have the government kidnapping your child and telling you your child is going to die
right.
and just wait it out, and there's armed guards in front of the hospital, it bothered me as much as what the government did is the fact that no one in England was like, Denzel Washington, that
John
hospital.
Q.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't understand for the life of me why there wasn't crowds of people just circling that hospital demanding the release of Alfie. Like,
yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, Marcus, because I was wondering that myself. Where's the crowd of 5,000 or 10,000 people that rush the hospital and get Alfie out of the hospital to that helicopter? Now, if you guys
That's true.
Aren't aware of this, Italy was really involved in this conversation with Alfie Evans, and they, as far as I understand, they actually gave Alfie citizenship.
Yep.
So they made him a citizen, and the Pope himself, we don't agree with the Pope, of course, but the Pope himself actually was pleading for the life of Alfie Evans.
So that's two magistrates.
And they were going to pay for all of it.
Yeah, that's two government magistrates, including the Pope, that is saying, and not only that, they granted Alfie Italian citizenship.
Right, right.
So they held him hostage.
He was absolutely held hostage. Yep.
So he was by official decree, made an Italian citizen.
Yep.
And they had a helicopter on standby, ready to take this little boy to get the medical care that he needed just to fight for his life. And British government says, no, he must die. He must die. And so, you know, people might say that you're being an alarmist or just, you know, using it for shock value when you say things like we live in the culture of death.
But at what point, like if that's not enough to like offend you, like at what point can the government just do anything they want and people be okay with it?
When they take your firearms.
No, well, if this had happened a little over 2 years ago, it would have been her choice. Because Alfie still would have been inside of her womb.
Right.
It would have been her choice.
True.
So they can't, you can't choose once they're out.
Right.
Then they become the state's.
Yeah.
But, right. But the only, as far as I can tell, if he had still been unborn, she would have been able to choose her
whether
treatment options.
Whether he lives or dies.
Right.
Yeah.
But once he came out, it becomes a matter of the state.
Yeah.
And I think that's the clear thing. It's evident in all of this is that children under this kind of government are the property of the state. Great example of being property of the state is, of course, this instance with Alfie demonstrates that the state says that they own your children. They will determine what's best for your child, not the parents. Another example is here in our land in California. I posted on my page about 2 weeks ago a letter from the public school system stating that there was going to be some sexual conversation going on in the classroom and that the parents were invited to disagree at home, but they did not have the right. The parents did not have the right to have their children not take this education or get this education. So parents are saying, we will determine what's good for your children, so they will take this class. But you're free, of course, we give you permission. We give you permission to disagree and maybe give your own views at home, but they will hear from us and we will indoctrinate them. Mm. And we'll tell you what is the length of your freedom as a parent. We'll tell you what is the height of your authority and responsibility. This is our child, this is our house. We'll tell you just how much limitation you have or freedom. So, of course, that becomes the sum of all of this. Who actually owns your children? Is it the parents or is it the state? Well, according to Western culture today and society and the government, it says, well, the state is the owner of your children. And that is, I think, devastating to the family. When I talk about the culture of death, of course, I'm not just talking about abortion. That is one indication of the culture of death. I'm talking about things like this. This is, of course, the death panels that everybody was always saying, slippery slope.
Right.
Death panels. This is where it's going. Well, you've now seen it front and center, guys, death panels. And, of course, the family itself being destroyed, gay mirage, male-male, female-female. That's the culture of death. You destroy the blueprint of society. You destroy the very fabric of society when you destroy the family. So that's where we're at. Speaking of death panels... This is a good example of that in action. Man booed after death panel comments on YouTube. Check that out. You can search that. Man booed after death panel comment. This is a lawmaker before what seems to be quite a bit of liberals. And this is him making the comment about death panels. And listen to how they respond to it.
Number one, there is a provision in there that anyone over the age of 74 has to go before what is effectively a death panel. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's in there, folks. You're wrong. Okay, children. All right, children.
I am 77 years old, and I think it's unconscionable for this politician to tell me that at 74, I will be facing death penalties. Pam, wrong, 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 wrong.
So this is, of course,
so crazy.
Yeah, this is, of course.
Well, and what you just heard is the argument of our current society.
Yeah.
Either booing or cheering.
Yes.
But like nobody wants to like listen to what anyone has to say. It's just booing or cheering, and that's considered scholarship.
Yeah.
And just for the record, that was Representative Gus Bilar. Oh, I can't even say his name. It's a tough one. Bilirakis. Bilirakis. He was fielding questions at a healthcare reform listening session in Newport Richey, Florida. And this was actually in
Del Boca Vista?
Well, Del Boca Vista? This is in February 11th, 2017. But this just goes to show, I think, the mockery of the left. And by the way, this is so important, especially for new listeners. We are not, we don't consider ourselves on the right, Republicans. We don't count ourselves among them. We're Christians who are in the kingdom of Christ, who are submitted to Christ's authority, who is the king. And so we basically are in this with principles and biblical wisdom. We're not saying we're on the right and they're on the left sort of a thing. We're not in that game. I just wanted to make sure I announced that. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say what I just said about our culture's current argument.
Yeah.
Christians are guilty of that too.
Yeah.
Of just booing or cheering and not putting any thought into opinions or arguments or anything like that. So
true.
It definitely wasn't just a jab at millennials or anything.
That's offensive.
Yeah. And
can I just, so we went to the Red for Ed walkout, me and Carmen did, and we were there and this lady had a sign that said a 1% increase in sales tax will, or income tax, 1% increase in income tax will, pay for education in Arizona. And Carmen, who loves the state, all things the state, Carmen says, didn't we throw tea in the Boston Harbor over 1% sales tax?
Yeah.
and so it was actually less than that. Yeah, it was actually less than that. And so I guess like when I see that the government is killing your children, if that's not, I'm like, I'm not a bloodthirsty, let's go to civil war kind of guy, but like, it just makes me wonder.
Yeah,
like,
you wouldn't last long.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I'd be the first dead. But the point is like, at what point do we tell the government no?
Right.
Like at what point? Because they're killing.
Right now.
Your children.
Right. Well, and that's right what now. I mean. Like, so well, right now the government says your body, your choice. But in the case of Alfie, I think it would be pretty safe to say that at a certain point, that choice is going to go away. And it's not going to be that, I would hope that it's because abortion's criminalized, but it could also be that the government will not let you give birth unless they want you to.
But even in the case of abortion, and abortion is really, really terrible, and this isn't to downplay abortion, but at least the government gives you the choice to kill your child in abortion.
Yeah.
This is the government killing your child. And so I was more angry that, you know, there weren't riots in the street of England over this.
No, I agree with that. That was the shocking thing to me was that there wasn't an effort with a lot of people to get Alfie out of the hospital.
Alfie's army, I don't know how big that
was.
Right.
There were people that were standing outside, but
again, they don't have any guns. What are they going to do?
If the government kidnapped a black child in America, I think there would be riots.
Right.
Oh, sure.
There would.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know what it'll take to get England to wake. I mean, us too. I mean, we're heading that way
just
too.
Just generally the West. Yeah, right. We're about 10 years behind England and everything. You know, so I guess let's talk before I play another clip. I'm going to play something from Alfie's father before all of this, before Alfie died. Biblical law requires you to work for the preservation of life. Preservation of life is key in biblical law. So just a great example, it's the popular one. It's the easiest one, I think, to remember. When God tells his people to put a parapet around the roof of their houses, it was to put basically a railing or a fencing around the roof of your house because they hung out up there a lot, and so it was toward the preservation of life. So you think about the greatest commandments, and I'm going to put this in a line for us so it's just coherent. The first greatest commandment is to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm. The second is to love your neighbor as you love yourself, right?
Yep.
Now, the way it gets fleshed out, love God, love neighbor, is the Ten Commandments, right? So love God. You see the first couple commandments are toward loving God. And then the other commandments are towards loving neighbor, like don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't covet, right? So those are all filling out.
Don't murder.
What does it mean? Right, don't murder. What does it mean? I should have mentioned that, yeah, that you should not kill. So what does it mean to love God, love neighbor? Okay, it looks like this, Ten Commandments. But then it moves further in the law of God in terms of penalties for if you don't love God or love neighbor, here's what that ought to look like. But the parapeter on the roof of the house is a protection of the commandment, thou shalt not kill. So parapets around the roof of your house are an extension of you shall not kill. It has to do with the preservation of human life because you shall not kill. Why? Because you're to love God, love neighbor. See, it's all in a line. It's all interconnected together. And so with that, the biblical principle is preservation of life. So when you look at a society that's turned away from God's law as the foundation, you can only expect that that becomes a culture of death. Because if you say loving God and loving neighbor aren't supreme, well, now the Ten Commandments are no longer supreme, which means the preservation of life is no longer supreme, which means you get abortion and death panels and little boys where they're not even trying to preserve his life. No preservation of life is necessary. Why? Because it's not a command to love neighbor as you love yourself. This gay activist judge, which if you dig it up, you'll see the judge who made this decision is a gay activist. I read all the stuff on that. This guy who gave this wicked decree is guilty of murder. The preservation of life.
Mm.
They don't hold to it any longer. Moms and dads are no longer the ones who have control of what takes place with their children in the West. Why? Because you've destroyed the Christian view of family.
Right.
There's no more family.
Yeah.
There is no more family. The state is the family now.
I remember the great American poet Lin-Manuel Miranda in his treatise on Hamilton said of King George, I will kill your friends and family just to remind you of my love. Ba-da-da-da-da.
Yep. Yes.
Like, that's so perfect.
Yes.
Because the state is saying, no, I'm taking care of... I sent you an article. I don't know if you read it, but I sent you an article of someone defending NHS. And they said, this is about the care of Alfie.
Give me
this,
a break.
This is about giving him what's best for him.
He was on a ventilator, so he wasn't used to breathing on his own, and he had a lung infection. But they let him breathe independently, despite him. He would be in obviously he'd be in discomfort.
Yeah.
He hasn't breathed on his own for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wouldn't provide him any nutrition.
They stopped feeding him.
And at one point he had not been fed or given any sort of nutrition for 36 hours. And then they fed him.
Right.
They starved him and then fed him again. Like,
oh, yes. I didn't even know that.
It's not. Good that's grief. Inhumane.
It is inhumane.
It's torture.
It's torture. They tortured this poor little boy and then they murdered him. And they did it all with his family right there by his side until the last moments. But okay, here we go. This is, you remind me when you bring that up, Joy, about his father, because he talks about that. Here we go. This is Alfie Evans' father. He says they want him dead within 3 days. This was published on March 9th.
Do you have a translator for this?
Oh, yeah, it's tough, huh?
All the high news, the verdict already before me. Is this right? Is this right? I'm not crying because I know how wrong they are and I know how strong my boy's doing. My boy's strong. He's comfortable. This isn't over. This is just the start. I'm going to take this absolute NHS down. I'm not giving up. My son ain't giving up. No one, and I repeat, no one in this country has taken my boy away from me. No one. And they're not violating his rights and they're not violating my rights. My son is 2 years of age and he's being sentenced to the death penalty. How wrong is that? We got the false impression that we were going to at least get the dignity to go on with him, but instead now they want him dead on Friday. With no remorse for mum or dad. No remorse. He's doing brilliant. He's doing as best as he can, and you want him dead on Friday. Where's the logistics and that? Where's realistic and that? Like, why do they want my son dead so quick? Why do they want him dead? They've wanted him dead since December 31st, and now they want him dead within 3 days. Why? No one can answer the question because it's corrupt. They're all working together and they've done something wrong down the line.
Ah, poor guy. My goodness.
We know what's crazy about this. I think this was the same day. I saw a couple different videos where that was in the morning, and then later in the day he told everybody to back down.
The hostage letter.
Well, what had happened is the hospital basically was like, knock it off if you want any chance of like anything good happening.
Yeah,
shut up.
They threatened him.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, and that's totally against the oath that doctors take. You can't administer medical care based off of someone else's behavior. Like, if you act right, we'll administer medical care. That's not how the Hippocratic Oath works at all.
No.
At all.
No.
Everyone who was involved in that should have medical licenses seized, torn up.
Right.
They should be handed to Alfie's dad so that he can
yeah.
throw them off a cliff or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Can I talk about that for a second? I think it'd be good to maybe explore that for a second. Let's say, from a biblical perspective, we were put in that position. Okay. We're thinking in terms of scripture and honoring God and all the principles in terms of just warfare and self-defense, biblical principles in that discussion. Let's say it's us and it's our children and the state says, no, I'm sentencing your child to die. There's a helicopter waiting from another country who says, we'll take care of your son. We'll pay for everything right now. Get to the helicopter. I believe that in a case like that, it is absolutely biblically appropriate, allowed, lawful for me as a father to work out a plan that involves me getting my son to the helicopter and I'm doing whatever it takes for anybody that stands in my way. I personally believe in a case like that, it's acceptable for me to grab my son and to do whatever is necessary to anybody who tries to stop me.
I agree.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So, and what I mean by that is that I think any police officer that stood in my way of me trying to save my son's life and tried to kill my son, I think that you have every right biblically to even lead to killing another human being who's trying to kill your child. Because that's what this really comes down to, is that these people killed his son.
Yeah.
And stopping him from getting his son to the helicopter was stopping the preservation of life. It was killing his son.
Yeah.
So I if a stranger comes in my home tonight, at midnight while I'm asleep, breaks in, and I know they have the intention of ending my child's life, don't we believe we have the right to kill that person?
Mm.
I do. I have the right to kill that person because you're trying to take the life of my son. So that's just the part of this that just gets me in terms of, what have we lost? What has happened to us as a culture that, number one, that we so devalue life, and number two, we don't have any courage anymore. Now, by the way, I want to make this really clear. I can't even imagine what Alfie Evans' father went through.
Right.
Right.
And I'm not trying to say this in condemnation of him. I'm saying, as a culture, at large, I'm saying, generally speaking, as a culture, we're just such cowards. What happened to us? Marcus brings up the Boston Tea Party, people throwing tea into water over a small tax compared to what we have today. I mean, my goodness, how many of you guys just went through tax day? I mean, that's an awful experience.
If someone from back then... like somehow traveled forward in future into the future and was here now, they would just like start immediately throwing tea.
Yeah. Or if they saw what we're paying in income tax now and sales tax, if they even saw that, they would be tripping.
Right.
Yeah. They'd be right. Like, well, that's why we left England in the first place.
Right. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
One
seriously.
More thing I want to say is this really comes down to the difference between royal blood and peasant blood. Because one thing that Ben Shapiro, I think it was Shapiro that brought it up, I thought was a good point to make. Do we really believe that if this child was the child of the prince and the princess?
Oh, right.
Do we actually believe that the state would have decreed that their child die?
Right.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing.
They would not, because it comes down to the difference between royal blood, a royal class, a higher class.
The state, again, technically.
Yes.
Because the royal family is a part of the state. So they have different, they have a different standard.
Yes. Sorry about that. Oh. Sorry. We're having audio problems here today, guys. Yeah, no, I think that's, let's explore that for a second.
If it was a child of one of those doctors.
Right.
Do you think they would have just been like, all hail NHS?
Right.
No, they would have done the same thing. They would have gotten citizenship for their child in another country. They would have gone to the end of the earth
yes.
to save their child's life.
Yes, without question, that's what would happen. So, you know, I did see part of the royal family just received at a very old age some very significant surgery, I believe, on his hip.
His hip. Yep.
His hip.
Prince Philip.
That's right, Prince Philip. So, it's compelling to consider the fact that we often try to say in our culture today that we want to destroy these classes, like the rich class, the poor class, and all the rest. It's like that all happens in the West all the time.
Right.
All the time. And right. Now with socialized medicine, hey, get used to it, because it's going to be the royal blood that gets the best medical treatment, and it's going to be us peasants who don't.
Right.
Right.
And I go ahead.
And Andrew Sandlin was even talking about how just the fact that we're using language of class, it shows how infected we are with socialism.
Yes.
Because that sort of, in early America, there were no classes. There were just people who had more money or were wealthy financially, and there were people who were wealthier in other areas with family or other things. But there was never, like, the wealthy class and the poor class and the royal class. Yeah, it was just people. And so we can't even have a conversation.
Right.
We can't even have our own conversation. And we're pretty anti-socialist, and we're still using Marxist language even
right.
in our discourse.
That's
it's
right.
pretty messed up.
That's right. All right, guys, quick break. Just a little break here, guys. Come right back. We're going to get into some more of the discussion with Alfie. We're going to play something from Nigel and his comments on this, and maybe just a minute here from Glenn Beck. And then we're going to play for you guys through just a bit of somebody who was critiquing us, professes to be a believer, and I believe a libertarian. Am I right? Yes.
Yes.
And she's critiquing us and our position at End Abortion Now and how we approach this gospel-centered with a biblical worldview. She disagrees, and she had some stuff to say about it. So stay tuned, guys. Be right back right here on Apologia Radio.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. David Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota. I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
For 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house. Not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
Welcome back, everybody, to Apologia Radio. Get more at apologiastudios.com. All of our podcast episodes, radio shows, all there available for your listening pleasure. Also, you can get Apologia TV, Apologia's After Show, Apologia Academy, all available to All Access. When you guys partner with us by signing up for All Access, you make all of our content possible, whether it is stuff on YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is, gospel proclamation, defense of the gospel, all of that's made possible by all of you.
Right.
I want to encourage you with something. I was in Kauai for a little missionary trip, just a week of evangelism for our church plant on the island of Kauai. Very encouraged while I was on the island, just kind of randomly traveling around from the east side to the south side. East side to the west side. No diggity. I ran into a couple people. They stopped me and just told me how God had been using the videos that we have up, all of our content on Apologia Studios' YouTube channel, God have been using that content to not just equip them, but also to send them out into the field. So last few moments that I was there, I was coming out of a shop, and I was even actually passing behind some bushes, and some trucks stopped on the road. And
you made that sound so nefarious.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I meant by that is that I can't believe this guy noticed me. And he slams on his brakes and comes to a screech, and there in a truck was him and his mom. And they were like, oh, my goodness, we watch your stuff all the time. And this was the blessing in it all. He said that I watch your videos on Mormonism and your outreach to Mormons. And because of that, I've been involved in witnessing to a lot of my Mormon friends here on the island. And so he was like, I'm just really blessed by your content. I watch it all the time, and God's really used it in my life. So praise God for that. I just want to say that story really has nothing, not so much to do with me. All that has to do with everybody who partners with this ministry. You make all that content possible. There's really no end to how God is using this, no ability to really talk about it all, because it's just so much. So thank you all for partnering with us. For those of you guys that have been with us for many years now, God bless you and thank you. And for those of you guys that haven't signed up yet, please do at ApologiaStudios.com, and you get all that great content. It's just really, really great content.
Yep.
Really want to encourage you guys to be on the lookout for the last thing we just did, the Academy with Dr. Andrew Sandlin. We really think in the context of current events, it'll really equip you and just be a blessing. So back on now, talking about Alfie Evans. I wanted to play this because I thought actually it was pretty powerful. This is Nigel Farage. He was talking about Alfie Evans and Britain's medical system on Fox News. So I'm actually going to I got to kill that one. All right, here we go. So this is Nigel. He's the guy that's responsible for Brexit. So pretty popular guy, well-known, important leader. And this is his commentary. I thought it was very good.
If a society is best judged by the quality of its mercy, well, Britain's socialized medical system appears to be failing that test. 23-month-old Alfie Evans is dying tonight from a neurological condition doctors have been unable to diagnose. He was taken off life support by court order on Monday. Yesterday, an appeals court refused to let Alfie's parents take him to Italy, which is offering an alternative treatment and citizenship. Here to discuss why little Alfie's life matters and what it tells us about socialized medicine is Brexit leader Nigel Farage in London. And this is a live show, and it's the middle of the night. Nigel, thank you so much for being here. I've been praying for Alfie and his family, but I have a question for you tonight. How can courts in the EU and in the UK prevent a family from removing their child from a hospital and taking him or her to another country for treatment? How is that even happening?
Well, what's happening here is the rights of the parent to do what they think are right are being taken away from them. We have a case here, and by the way, it's not the first. We had a big one last year concerning a small boy called Charlie Gard,
right,
who wanted to go to America for treatment that was not available in the UK. And in this case, with young Alfie, there's treatment available in Italy that is not available here. Now, the little...
So I just want to stop there for a second. Where's the uproar? I think this gets to the point, Marcus, that you were making. It's right to the point that you've been making. When are people going to stand up and say enough is enough? At what point do people say, all right, now we've got two children now affected by this evil and disastrous socialist medical system? At what point do we actually stand up and say this is wicked, it's evil, and we need to actually fight against the system itself?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Marcus.
I was like, why is Nigel not cussing on the front of here? I just don't know. Like, he should be in military garb with a gun in his hand talking about this. I don't know what it's going to take. I think it's part of the, you know, the judgment of God where God just walks away.
Yeah.
And he just goes, okay, have what you want. And he doesn't make people angry over this stuff. He doesn't instill a righteous anger anymore.
Cowardice is actually a sin.
Cowardice is definitely part of it. And
it says in the book of Revelation that cowards are going to have their place in the lake of fire.
And maybe it's just the two kingdom theology has just taken over so much that we're just citizens of heaven and we just sit back and watch.
Mm. Well, I saw maybe one reason why there's not an uproar. Obviously, it's terrible that there's not. But, you know, I was reading an article like this at this point in the UK, like this isn't like so uncommon. It's almost like they're already used to it. You know, this is a common practice now of the NHS is to starve children, essentially, that aren't worth the money.
Mm, right.
And so that's why, for whatever reason, this one is had a lot more publicity, maybe because they were holding them hostage. I don't know. But
right.
I don't know.
I think, too, you have a different and it's a little bit unfortunate, and I don't think it gets people off the hook by any means. But I have heard some of my friends who live over there in the UK that fall under the NHS. They have a different view of the NHS just because that's like what they've.
In what sense? What do you mean?
Like that's what they've experienced. That's how they know healthcare to be.
They did.
So it's more normal for them.
Yeah.
So they may not, like I said, not letting anyone off the hook, but there is, or like people who have always lived in a country where no guns are allowed. Like it almost, they just haven't thought about it in the same way. Mm. I don't know.
It's like the Egyptians wanting to go back, the Jews wanting to go back to Egypt.
Right.
It's like they don't realize.
Yeah, I guess we've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. Oh, we had so much garlic and leeks.
Right.
And just mud
we
and
we got free health care there, guys.
Just mud and bricks and a whip across your back. No big deal.
Children,
no biggie.
Children just have to die every once in a while.
Yeah.
But really.
Well, right? I guess that's the point is that I would say to my brothers and sisters in Christ in the UK that are part of the European Union, I think it's time for you guys to stand up. I think it's time for you guys to stand up for justice. And I kind of wonder at what point are we going to start taking like the condemnation of Isaiah chapter 1 where God condemns his people and ultimately judges them for not pleading the widow's cause and not standing up for the fatherless and not seeking justice.
And if I could throw in there all our lovely Australian mates who are under the rule of the Queen too.
Right. So I guess that's the point. By the way, this comes right back at me. I'm pointing a finger across the pond with three fingers pointed back at me. It's in my country too. All right. But I'm on a radio program trying to speak against this. There we are on the streets outside of an abortion clinic trying to plead for the lives of children. We're trying to be prophetic. And I guess what I'm asking, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Right,
please do not take it that way. I'm saying I hope there's a lot more of it, and I hope we start hearing about it. Christians that are speaking prophetically against these institutions, proclaiming the rule of Christ over them and demanding that people obey God's law. That's the main point I'm making there. Mm. So just a little more from Nigel here.
The little boy is very sick, but I mean, any parent in the world who's got a child that's sick would move heaven and earth if somebody else could offer them a different treatment. And yet, what happens here is our state-run medical system decides there is nothing else that can be done, and backed up by state courts, they make a decision that those parents are not fit to move their child somewhere else. And when you think about this case, I mean, the Pope's intervened, the Italian president even granted the boy Italian citizenship, and still the medical profession and the courts say, no, we're sorry, we're putting the plug, the life support machine has been turned off. So this gets to the absolute heart.
Woe to them. What else can you say? Woe to them.
Right.
What a wicked, wicked thing. And you know, okay, so let's finish with this. Let's talk just for a moment about where we are. We're in a place now where the state, by the way, check out Revelation. A lot of different views on Book of Revelation. Of course, you've got historicist, you've got idealist, you've got futurist, you've got preterist. All that aside, I think we're all pretty unanimous in terms of the beast that's described in Revelation. That's a wicked state. Whether you think it was Rome in the past, you think it'd be a worldwide government in the future, whatever people think in terms of like where's that located in history. The point is the beast is an out of control state. Okay, and so Christians have always been opposed to such a thing, and biblical law has a very small civil magistrate state system, government system that has a very very particular rules as to how it's supposed to operate. It's supposed to punish the wicked, Romans chapter 13, not the righteous, punish the wicked to uphold justice. The basic rule of government, according to God, his standards, his blueprint, is the government is supposed to uphold contracts, right? People make agreements.
Right.
Somebody breaks it. The justice system comes in to make sure that they hold to their end. So upholding contracts, punishing evil in society, and organizing for national defense. That is it.
Yeah.
That's it. And of course, we believe as Christians that this is inspired scripture. It's from God. It's breathed out by God, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. But we have to also believe as Christians that God foresees, knows the future. He knows it, which means as God gives us this blueprint for how the world's supposed to operate and tells us what's justice, what does it look like in a culture and society, he knew the future before it even happened. And he never gave government the responsibilities that our government, the beast, has today. In every area of life, controlling everything, whether it's education, whether it's medicine, whether it's food, the government's controlling absolutely everything, and it's taxing us to death to do it. The government is killing us, quite literally killing us. And it's interesting because if you had a world that was just and you had a government that was essentially Christian, that obeyed Jesus Christ and God's law, you would have the kind of world that we used to have. By the way, I'm not saying it was a utopia. We never had a utopia, but we did see advances with the kingdom of Jesus. And one of those advances was in this very area, medicine. Medicine. There's the origin of hospitals is specifically Christian. That's not to say that unbelievers in history didn't do medicine, practice medicine, the Hippocratic Oath. Oh, I get all that. But the specific institution of hospital is specifically Christian. So, for example, St. Basil of Caesarea, he founded the first hospital in 369 A.D. And Christian hospitals, they grew and they spread across the world, both, of course, the East and the West. And, of course, and this is, I'm reading this from a very, actually, very powerful article here. It says, by the mid-1500s, there were 37,000 Benedictine monasteries alone that cared for the sick. It was not until the four centuries after St. Basil's hospital that Arab Muslims began to build hospitals themselves. So you see in the history of the world, hospitals are Christian, funded by Christians, governed by Christians, used by Christians, ministered to and by Christians. By the way, do you notice that? Of course, I mean, they're starting to go away now because as these secular organizations are swallowing up hospitals, they lose their names.
Right.
But you know, St. Luke's, Good Samaritan Hospital, St. Timothy's Hospital, Baptist General Hospital,
Presbyterian
hospitals. Why do you think they got all this Christian stuff all over them? Well, that's because hospitals are Christian. Now watch, take hospitals out of the hands of the Christians. You've done that.
Mm.
You took them away from Christians. Now what do you have? Insane pricing.
Yep.
People can't get the care that they need. We don't have the kind of advances in medicine that we had when Christians were in control of hospitals. You don't have the kind of care that we had with Christian hospitals. And now the state's taking control of medicine. Now the state is the physician. I just want to say this very on a very personal level. I have arthritis in my back. Pretty bad, actually. It's getting worse as I get older. I'm only 40 years old now, but it's starting to get pretty hectic. But I recently went to the doctor to see about getting stem cells in my spine so I can see if there could be something that would actually fix them that way. And my doctor told me, well, the government hasn't yet declared that is a good treatment, so you have to pay for that out of your own pocket. Because the government hasn't said. So the government's going to determine whether or not this is a viable medical option for me. But also further, the doctor told me that due to the government's restrictions, he has to tell all of his patients now that in terms of long-term care for pain management, the government now tells him which he's allowed to select from. So he's only allowed to actually distribute to his patients now what the government has told him he's allowed to give to them for medicine. He said he's really struggling with it because the medications that they're telling him to use are medications that are way worse in terms of addiction, in terms of what would actually be best for the patient. He told me, well, now the government is your physician, Jeff. He doesn't know my position on the government, by the way. I don't go in there talking to him about all those things, but he told me that the government is now your physician. I'm not. Isn't that powerful?
It's crazy.
Isn't that a powerful thing? So, Joy, tell us a little bit more about Christian history of medicine, nurses, all those sorts of things.
Well, so a big part of what created hospitals was the care aspect. So I'm definitely, this is, try not to misunderstand what I'm saying, but a doctor's job is to treat illness and not necessarily care for the person who is bedridden or needs ongoing care. So hospitals, all this to say, hospitals either didn't exist in areas or they weren't the same until nursing happened.
Okay.
Because nursing is different from being a doctor, whereas nurses provide more care. So the first continuous history of nursing corresponds with the emergence of Christianity in ancient Rome circa 400 AD.
Okay.
So pretty long time ago.
Yeah.
And it was the treat others as you treat yourself.
Right.
The words of Jesus.
That's right.
That inspired his followers to basically begin the foundation of nursing. And it continued to be the church that provided care for those who were sick, which led to hospitals even being a thing. Because there was a time where if you were sick, you didn't go to a big building where a bunch of other sick people were.
Yeah.
So hospitals were actually the direct result of the nursing industry, which was the direct result of Christ's followers.
Wow.
And I just have to say that for the, I'm not going to go, you know, this isn't in support of feminism, but if you're a Christian female, you should know that primarily, especially in the beginning, a nurse, and it still is today, there are more female nurses typically
than nurses.
Right. not that it's a bad thing or anything like that, but it it definitely, women tend to be more caregiving.
Yeah.
And therefore it appealed to women, and it was a well-respected occupation for a single woman.
Right. Yeah.
So not just Christians, but Christian females too. They're nursing led to hospitals, and hospitals are how we take care of people now for the most part. So we definitely have our part in history.
Yes.
There, as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, and
just so you know, part of what I read is a plaque that's hung in the International Surgical Sciences Museum in Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's in a secular museum. Nobody's contesting that it was Christians that started the nursing industry.
They got museums for everything.
They do. It's undeniable. Yeah, they really do.
That's a great museum, by the way.
Oh, you've been there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just read from a picture that I took.
Of course. Oh, of course.
Oh, nice.
Here, I'm
nice.
Thinking you're like using Google or something.
Well, I guess, so the point of all that, and to bring that up, is that when the church controls these things privately, we do really well with it. And as soon as you start getting the government, the state involved in these areas, they don't manage it well, they destroy it, and they become tyrannical. And it's obvious, it's as obvious as nose on all of our faces, that when the government controls any of these things, it becomes tyrannical. And it's obvious with Alfie Evans. He is dead now. He died. He had the chance to work towards the preservation of his life.
Mm-hmm.
His parents had the opportunity to try to preserve his life. And the state said, no, it's not worthy. And I wonder, Joy, you and I had a conversation right before we started going live here. At what point, when we hand the state this kind of determining power over life itself, at what point do they end? So, for example, we talk about the slippery slope. I think there's a slippery slope here that's pretty obvious. And that is to say, with Alfie Evans, the state was saying, well, we don't think that it's worth trying to preserve his life, so right. let's kill him. Let's withhold food. Let's make his life difficult. Let's maybe give him a cocktail to make his departure easier. That's what the sort of things are being suggested.
Well, and then not tell the parents
right.
what the cocktail is.
Right. There's a whole thing that I've seen. I haven't investigated it well enough now to be able to give any kind of instruction on it. He was given 4 injections. Yeah.
That I was reading from earlier about him being starved for periods of time.
Yes.
That also included, he was given 4 drugs, so the father was called away.
Yes, he was pulled out of the room.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly.
In the middle of the night, so sort of not something that was typically, it was it was described as unusual.
Yes.
And then he was administered four different somethings.
Without his father there.
Right. And yeah. without him knowing what they were or anything.
He died
like
two
that.
Hours later.
Yeah.
So after the four injections, this little boy died.
You know, that's another thing, too. I was thinking, we can't just blame the state for this. You have these doctors and nurses.
Oh, yeah.
Who are just as guilty because they could have just said, no, I'm not going to do it.
They could have refused. Yeah. Oh, took
yeah.
an oath.
And now, absolutely. And they're, yeah. So they're just as guilty.
Yeah.
Their blood of this little boy's hands are on them. It's just as much as these judges.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree with that. Absolutely. They could have easily just said, I refuse to do this treatment. I refuse to kill this child. But my point I was getting to was what Joel and I were talking about. When we talk about where's the end to this slippery slope, they've done it now with a child. They said, we don't deem your life valuable enough to try to preserve.
Right.
Well, does that stop at some point in the future where the government starts telling women who have children who are unborn in the womb, who maybe have Down syndrome or some other kind of handicap?
Or any, I mean, a lot of there's all kinds of things that they look for when you do genetic yeah. testing before your child's born. They're not always right. Also,
yeah.
it's very worth, obviously it's, there are yeah. certain, there are certain genetic markers yeah. that can, you can say for sure, like this is going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to give birth. Your child will have Down syndrome. We know that for sure, but it's not always, you don't always know.
Candy has a cousin.
So does Cheryl.
Yeah, Candy has a cousin. Doctor told the mom, your child will not survive out of the yeah. womb. They're going to have this genetic deformity, this, and this. Child came out perfectly
yep.
fine.
Yep.
A little girl that I worked with yep. for a long time. You guys know her.
Yes.
I miss her.
She. The same thing was yep. said. It was said that she would never beat herself or walk or anything like that. She did all those things.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Yeah. So.
Can you imagine?
I was actually going to bring this up because I was reading about Alfie today. This is a Washington Post article. Washington Post,
right?
Who's not exactly a conservative publication.
I know, it's all things Christian.
That, yeah. yeah.
It says, the culture of death is on the march across Europe. CBS News recently reported that Iceland was on the verge of, quote, eliminating Down syndrome, not by some medical miracle, but because the country's abortion rate for Down syndrome babies is close to 100%. So that's why they've eliminated Down syndrome, because they're like,
right.
oh, Your baby might have Down syndrome, so they just abort it.
Well, and so what would keep the state
crazy
from saying, we want a Down syndrome free country?
Right.
We know we said it was your choice before.
Right.
But
it's our choice.
Well, and the thing is it's not a far stretch, because the minute they're born, they're in the hands of, especially if you have socialized health care, they're automatically in the hands of the NHS, and then you send them to public school and they're in the hands of the state again.
That's right.
So to say that the state doesn't, oh, the state's not interested in taking away your children, or the state's not interested in having power there because they give you that choice.
Yeah.
That's, I'm sorry. That's not a far reach. That
we're past it now. We're already
right.
down the road. We're
yeah.
already there. So I think that we've had a long show today. It's probably best that we actually save the conversation. It deserves a whole show in itself.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and save for next week a conversation we're going to have with somebody who was critiquing us and our position on gospel-centered approaches to engage in the culture of death with abortion. We're going to go through her podcast and maybe, if possible, have her on the show. But that deserves a whole show in itself. I want to make sure we handle that well. So that's it for today, guys. Apologia Radio, important episode. If you would, do us a favor. Partner with us. Share this episode and get the message from a Christian perspective on the issue of Alfie Evans into the culture all around us. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for loving us and praying for us, supporting us as always. That's Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
Joy the Girl.
See ya.
King Ginger.
See ya.
I'm the Ninja, and thank you as always. We'll catch you guys next week.